Psalms 128, a Song of Ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 128.
Well, good morning, Peace Church family and friends. I'm Pastor Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Peace Church. This morning, we are finishing out our sermon series, Seats at the Dinner Table, Psalm 128, and the Godly Home. In this sermon series, we've been looking at the people who are seated around the family dinner table. We've looked at the husband, we've looked at the wife, we've looked at the children, we've looked at guests who are around the dinner table. And today, we finish up this sermon series by looking at the family with generational vision as we look at grandchildren and the role of grandparents at the family dinner table. Every sermon in this sermon series has had two distinct parts. The first one is from the family Bible. That's where we detail the role of the person in that seat. The second half of the sermon is for the family blessing. And that's where we looked at when that person fulfills their God-given role, what do they do as far as contributing to the family blessing? We've already heard our psalm read today, Psalm 128, so we're going to reread together our focus verse today, the last verse of Psalm 128, Psalm 6. Would you read this with me, please? Here we go. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. Amen. So our main point for today is this. The greatest blessing we can give our grandchildren is a legacy of faith. The greatest blessing we can give our grandchildren is a legacy of faith. And with that, let's start with prayer. Lord God in heaven, I pray that everyone in here today, this morning, Father, I want to pray for second service, that they, the people you've gathered here right now, Father, they'd see their faith develop. By the power of your Spirit, Father, I pray that their faith would grow strong and that its effects will continue for generations and generations until Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, returns from heaven. It's in his powerful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as we get started today with this last sermon of this series, I'm going to ask for your patience for a little bit because I thought I might try and share a little bit of my heart first and so you can understand why this sermon in particular is important to me on a personal level. Permit me a few moments to just share part of my story. Growing up, I had three sets of grandparents. And the reason starts from a tragic reason. My father, when I was a year and a half old, he died in a plane crash. My sister was 3 months old. My mom was 23. And my father never saw his 30th birthday. Now, the odd thing about death and traumatic and tragic deaths like the one my family experienced is that it has incredible power to bring a family closer, unlike almost any other experience, because it awakens us to what is truly important, and it does it in a way that normal life almost can't. And so being widowed at 23, my mom moved us next door to her parents. And while you'll hear that I deeply loved all of my grandparents, I have to admit there was a uniqueness to my relationship with my mom's parents simply because of proximity. I'll talk about them in a moment. But my biological father's parents lived on Clyde Park. My grandma was from Massachusetts and had a New England accent. See, in West Michigan, most people's grandmas, they have a Dutch accent. Mine had a Boston accent. I remember that my grandpa, pictured there, my biological dad is the one farthest at the top when he was a little guy. My grandpa, I remember he was very tall, and he was strong. And I remember every time I saw him, he would pick me up and give me the biggest bear hugs. I mean, to the point where it hurt, and when I squealed out in a little bit of pain, he'd let go. And I realize now that I have, because I have two sons of my own, I realize now why he hugged me so tightly. A, because I was his first grandson and he loved me. But also, I understand now that in hugging me, he was also hugging his son that he lost. He died of a stroke when I was about 16 years old. My grandparents were founding members of Wesley Park United Methodist Church in Grand Rapids, where they taught Sunday school. And my grandpa was, I didn't know they used to have these. He was the Sunday school superintendent. Back in the day, right? My grandma died last May. She lived on her own well into her 90s. And the last time I heard that Boston accent was when I told her that she had a new great-granddaughter and that we had named her Georgia. And the last thing I remember hearing my grandma say in that Boston accent, which I will not try to replicate, when I told her that we named her great-granddaughter Georgia, she replied without skipping a beat, "My little Georgia peach." And if you know me, my daughter is peach to me and probably will be for her entire life. 4 years after my dad died, my mom got remarried, and I eventually got a new baby sister and a foster brother. But I also got a new dad, and a dad who loved me as his own. He adopted us, and he moved us to Middleville. Wasn't that far, because we were actually living at Wayland at the time, so. But he brought us out to the country, where he taught me to work hard, and he showed me that time spent in a barn is better than time spent with electronics. Can I get an amen? I also got a new set of grandparents. And my grandpa and grandma Kimmel never once, not even for a split second, ever treated me like I was anything less than their full grandchild. There we are right there. And if you can see, my grandma has her hand on my shoulder. My grandpa lost his leg in World War II. And I remember when I was a little guy, he would let me play drums on his wooden leg. He died of lung cancer 2 days before my 14th birthday. And I remember near the end of his life, he didn't want us to see him wasting away in the hospital because he didn't want that to be the memory he had of us. And in the final moments, we did get to come in and say goodbye to him. But my memories of him are not from a hospital room. They're from sunny fall days in this big old house that was built right after the Civil War. My grandma outlived him by over 20 years, all the time living her life to the fullest, knowing that she would see him again and often talked about it. After he died, she moved to the north side of Grand Rapids, right by where I went to college and by where I went to seminary. And for those 7 years of education, I would go over to her house for lunch, just me and her. And they are memories I will cherish forever. In true classy style, she died on Leap Day 2016. And so, with my mom widowed at 23 with two babies, it's no doubt that my parents, or that her parents, were the ones that I saw the most. And not even knowing where to begin, the time I have cannot do justice to explain the place that my grandma has in my heart. If you listen to me preach enough over the years, I'm sure you might get a little bit of a sense. The Lord took her home in January 2010. That is at my mom and dad's wedding. She was taking care of me, and as you can see, she turns her head for a second, and I'm reaching for a knife. She would have loved to see my kids all be born. She only saw one of them. And knowing that she wouldn't see that, it was the last time I wept bitterly. Making me milkshakes, listening to Willie Nelson, and being my safe place, that was my grandma. My grandpa is the only one left on this side of eternity, which actually makes sense because of all my grandparents, he's the bear. When death finally does come for him, death will have to bring backup to bring to get that guy to go anywhere. And looking at that picture, for some of you, knowing who I am, it's starting to make sense. Most grandpas teach their grandsons how to fish. Mine did too, but he taught me how to shoot pool. And being a little guy, I couldn't say grandpa fully. I could only say muster out grumpa, which is why since that time, he's known as Grump. And my grandma often remarked on how fitting of a nickname that was. He is living his final days in Florida. And when the Lord takes him, that will be a hard day for me. So as you can tell, the grandparent-grandchild relationship is very special to me, and I want it to be special for my grandkids. So as we get into Scripture, I hope that you, especially you grandparents, are already moved to feel the weight and the importance of your place in the life and in the future of your grandkids. Because I'm almost 40, not there yet, but I'll be talking about my grandparents to the day I die. And every time I do, I'll have to fight back tears. Your influence and your importance is profound. So I pray that everyone here today gets a vision for building and leaving a family legacy. Because here's the truth. Youngsters in the room, listen up. Everybody is destined to be an old photograph. Our lives will be summed up in simple statements by people who either barely knew us or only heard about us. You can maybe hand down a few faded memories after an entire life lived, but you can leave something far greater, a legacy of faith. And that's why we say the greatest blessing we can give our grandkids is a legacy of faith. So as we open up Scripture, two specific things I see about grandchildren at the dinner table. First, grandchildren are rewards. Grandchildren are rewards, and secondly, grandchildren are recipients. So first, from the family Bible, grandchildren are rewards. It's often said that grandkids are God's reward for not killing our own children, right? Well, in a sense, that's kind of true. The Bible says something actually pretty cool about children. It calls them a crown. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. This point is quick and simple, so I want to make it clear. Grandparents and grandchildren is a scripturally recognized, biblically sanctioned, and beautiful relationship that is meant to be had, fostered, and cherished. Holding your grandbabies is, and I do not use this term lightly, is a holy moment. It's both the culmination of generations, but is also the start of new generations. And generations that will get the torch that you pass on. You'll pass it to their parents, but then their parents will pass it on to them. Which leads to the second thought. Grandchildren are recipients. Here's some amazing news. More than any time in American history, people are living longer. And so grandparents are getting more time with their grandchildren more than ever before. In fact, people are living so long that we can actually have meaningful studies between great-grandparents and great-grandchildren. So as recipients, some of you asked in preparation, Father's going to be talking about this verse, so I will for a moment. Proverbs 13:22, speaking of recipients, this is what it says. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Yes, this verse is talking about wealth, goods, and possessions, but many people aren't able to leave that these days. But the Bible does not say you're a bad person if you don't leave an inheritance, but what might be a helpful way to understand this verse is to take a step back and understand something that this verse presupposes. For the righteous man, for the good man, grandchildren are a forethought, not an afterthought. Grandchildren are those people, and this is profound to me because I don't know this from the grandparent side. I only know this from the grandchild side, but looking at my grandparents, every single one of them, looking into their eyes and getting a glimpse of their heart, I can start to understand this. Grandchildren are those people who will hold who will hold one of the most prominent places in our hearts. But the weird thing is we don't get to meet them till the last half of our life, and for many of us, only the last decades of our lives. And so when Proverbs says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, I think this means that grandchildren are to receive the blessings from their grandparents that the grandparents have been preparing for since before they were born. Grandchildren, this is a write down one. Grandchildren receive their parents from their grandparents. Follow that? People who have kids, you are raising your grandkids' future parents. Children receive from their grandparents their very own parents. If you have children, you're raising your grandkids' future parents. Let that sink in for a moment. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, writes what is probably his last letter to his protege, Timothy, and this is what he says. I am reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, I am confident, dwells in you. We see something very, very important in Scripture that I want to make sure everybody here understands. We see in Scripture that faith is not just personal. We often think it's just this personal relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That may be true, but that's not the only aspect of faith. Faith is covenantal. We understand that, and we hold to that very dearly in our Reformed Presbyterian theology. But what we see here, we cannot get away from, is that faith is also generational. The Bible speaks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's three generations represented. Because here's the grand idea. Grandparents, if you are a grandparent, congratulations. You are a patriarch. And your legacy should have a three-generation vision, which means you have a place and a part to play, not just in your children's lives, but in your grandchildren's lives. In this sermon series, for every sermon, we've taken a moment and we've tried to address those places where there's brokenness. And so I want to do that here for a moment. As we have just realized from our church family with the passing of Bob Beatty and with others, what if you won't live to see your grandkids? Or what if by brokenness and broken relationships, you can't see them? What then? Well, let me give you three thoughts if you are in that situation. First one is pray for them. This is not the trite Sunday school answer. This is the powerful communication that you have with the Almighty that Jesus Christ opened the door for. This is where you must grasp the understanding that your prayers are incense filling the throne room of God. And when you pray for your grandkids, the God of the cosmos is breathing in and smelling your grandkids. Pray for them. If you're not able to, or if you can't spend time with them, spend the time in prayer that you would have spent with them and give them a life that has truly, truly been prayed over. Second thing is write to them. Write them letters. I encourage anyone who's a parent to do this right now. Along with praying for them, write for them. The Bible says that children are recipients. And so give them letters. Here's the thing. It may take a while for your children to actually, your grandkids to actually receive those letters. And it may take even longer for them to appreciate those letters, but I guarantee they will. They will cherish them deeply. So pray for them, write them, and then finally, do what the Bible says, give them an inheritance. Along with praying for them and writing them, do what the Bible says and leave them an inheritance. Maybe it's not money, maybe it's a ring. Many of you notice I wear two wedding rings. One is my own, but then the other one is my grandpa's wedding ring, the old bear. And I'm ever reminded of them and the impact they have on my life. But maybe you can't leave money, maybe you can't leave possessions, so leave them something better. Leave them a used and worn out Bible. Leave them a legacy of faith. give them a family Bible that they can pass down. The world is broken, and not every kid gets the relationship with their grandparents like I got to have. But that doesn't mean you still cannot have a meaningful impact in their life. So pray for them, write to them, and leave them an inheritance. And so finally, for the family blessing. When we think about the role of grandchildren and the role of grandparents in the lives of grandkids, we'll close up this sermon and this sermon series by looking at how that relationship contributes to the family blessing. One of the most important verses on parental ministry, if you have children at home, parents, you need to write this down, is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Vital when we think about parental ministry, but when we think about grandparent ministry, it's Deuteronomy chapter 4, specifically verse 9. Here's what it says. So grandparents in particular, please listen up. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. From this verse, we'll glean our final 2 points for application. For grandchildren, grandparents are the witness of a generational faith. First one, for grandchildren, grandparents are the witness of a generational faith. And secondly, grandparents are the givers of a generational legacy. So first, grandparents are the witness of a generational faith. The first part of this verse says, and I'm going to keep coming back to it, it says, take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Grandparents, particularly you grandparents of faith, the Bible's task for you is not to spoil your grandkids. It's not to trump their parents' authority. And it's not to retire from your role in the church. It is striking how many times the phrase or something similar of all the days of your life are tagged on to verses in the Bible. It's like the Bible knows that as we grow old, our tendency will be not just to slow down, but to check out. But the Bible is reminding us that while we are breathing, our job hasn't stopped, so neither should we. And this grand idea of grandparenting should be at the forefront of this understanding of God's role for us as we enter into the final seasons of our life. Larry Fowler, former director of international ministries for Awana and current founder and CEO of the Legacy Coalition, has a great quote. Legacy Coalition, I encourage you to check it out. He says this, "Nothing brings meaning to the last decades of life like spiritual grandparenting." Right, just when you think your job is done, the good Lord drops an enormous task for you to complete your life with. Nothing brings meaning to the last decades of life like spiritual grandparenting. So here are 3 thoughts I have heard from the older generation that I think needs to be properly addressed. I've done my service and therefore I'm done. It's time for the younger generation to step up, and therefore, I'm in the way. I'm not relevant anymore, and therefore, I'm not needed. 3 lies that I've heard from the older generation that I'm going to take to task right here. Each one breaks my heart, so I'm going to shine some truth on these lies. First one, I've done my service, and therefore, I'm done. You may have retired from your work, but there is no biblical warrant to retire from your family or your church family. And so I'll try to say this nicely. Too many of the older generation are sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you can't do what you used to do, or maybe you can't do what you want to do. But what would you tell your grandchildren if they gave you those excuses when it came time for chores? I can't do that. I don't want to do that. What would you say to your grandkids? I'm thinking some of you might say, I'm sorry, it's not about you. It's about the family. So hop to it, son. How many of you would say that? Hey, you don't want to raise your hand, right? Because you know what's coming. Left hook is about coming at you. Your service may be a little different. But the mission is still the same. The gospel still needs to be told, and the church still needs her saints. And the younger generation needs you. And this leads to the second thing I hear. It's time for the younger generation to step up, and therefore, I'm in the way. And let me just start by saying, yes, absolutely, we do need to let the next generation step up and assume leadership. I know too many churches that have a vibrant history that are crippling now because the older generation won't hand over the reins and let the next generation lead. There is truth to this. We need to let the next generation rise up and take their God-given place to start and lead. But that does not mean that you check out of the game. What that means is that you become a role of a coach. The next generation needs that witness from a generational faith that says from experience and knows the truth of Hebrews 13:8 that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've experienced that in ways the next generation hasn't. So speak that truth into them. They may not sit there and thank you for your pearls of wisdom right there at that moment. But I guarantee those words and your voice will stick with them, and God will bring that memory back to them when they need it. I know that from experience. You can say that no matter what comes and goes in science and culture, that Jesus Christ remains. And I've said it, I'll say it again. I've worked with youth for a number of years now. And they may not much respect your words right now, but your voice will come back to them when they need it, so you just have to speak it. And I've also heard, I'm not relevant anymore, and therefore I'm not needed. Probably the most heartbreaking of all of them. So let me tell you, I am thankful that I have grandparents serving in our youth ministries. Just because you don't know how to use an iPhone doesn't mean you're not needed. So let these words from the Lord God remind you of his goodness and your purpose. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. This is what God says. Listen to me, you who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. If God's not done with you, that means he's not done using you. The next generation does have a lot to share and to show you, just like you have for them. You are a witness to a generational faith. You can firsthand show the next generation and your grandkids that this Christian faith didn't drop out of the sky wrapped in an American flag and then for them just to think about from time to time, but is a living and breathing and active faith that has existed long before them, can dwell in them, and will exist long after them. It took three generations for the phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to come to be, and each name was necessary in the process. And so are you, grandparents. You are a witness to a generational faith, and it's time that you see it through. And so for grandchildren, grandparents are the givers of a generational legacy. I'll tell you up front, I am zealous to leave a legacy for my family, despite my already numerous faults and sins. As I've said, I'm not even yet 40 years old, got a couple years left, but I'm already planning for a future for my family, a future of faith for when I'm no longer seated at that dinner table. I'm going to remind you of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Grandparents, God just gave you a directive. Here it was. Keep growing spiritually and tell your grandkids about Jesus. That is your biblical mandate, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, to pass on the faith to your kids and to your grandkids. And in this sermon series, we have already acknowledged that parents are the primary disciplers of a children's faith. We love that, we hold to that, we foster that, we believe that. And we've already acknowledged the absolute unmatched role of the father in a family. But this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, gives a biblical mandate that parents are supposed to adhere to. So listen to it again. Take care, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Grandparents, keep growing your soul even though your hair gets gray. The Bible says to do this diligently. Diligently. Don't sit back and forget what God has done. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Amen. But you must ensure that the next generation and the one after that knows the stories of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Parents, give your parents time with their grandkids to teach them the faith. Share with them the stories. Give testimony to the generations. But grandparents, hear this. Parents and kids are busy nowadays. You have to be proactive and ask for specific times for that to happen. Because grandparents, it's time to live into the biblical mandate to ensure that the legacy of faith continues. And so grandparents, as we close, I want to share with you, even in my relatively young age, how I'm considering and working towards building my own legacy and how I would continue and encourage you to build yours. And before I do, some of you are coming to this point and you realize I haven't done anything to build a legacy and you are in the final season of your life. It's not too late. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray, work through him, and still do the things I'm about to say. Three things that I'm doing. Paint a picture, pursue righteousness, and prepare it with prayer. First one, paint a picture. Develop a vision. Have a vision in your head of what your family, what you want them to be like. When the family dinner table has all the seats filled that God is filling, and the people are there, what is the culture that you want your family to be thriving in? I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in your home, around your dinner table. What is the culture of your family that you are fostering? Will it be fun and laughter? Will it be formal and tranquil? Will it be some combination of both? Will it be focused on the spirit of Thanksgiving? Not the holiday, but the act. Will it be worshipful and prayerful? What is the snapshot that you want in the family album? So when one of your grandkids or one of your descendants flips up an old photograph of you in front of 800 people on a Sunday morning, what picture do you want to have shown? And yes, each person will grow into their own person. And God will work in that so you can pray through that. But I am talking about the theme of your family, the culture of the family that you are fostering right now. What is that picture? What do you want that to be like? Because here's the take home. Paint a picture in your mind, write it down, and write it out, and be inspired to work towards it. And you do this the second way, by pursuing righteousness. But I'll just stop for a moment. I'll let you know what my picture looks like in however many years, 20, 30, 40, whatever the good Lord has for me left. There I am, head of the table, surrounded by my kids and their kids, and I've got a few more wrinkles on my face. My beard's a few inches longer and a little bit more salt and peppery. And I say, let's pray. And everyone in my family joyfully and willingly bows their heads. And I lead them in prayer. And I'm asking for God to give me just one chance to do that at least. And then he can take me home. But I know I can't just dream it. I have to pursue it. And I do that through righteousness. Our psalm says it's a blessing to see our children's children. And I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 again, because I want you grandparents to take this home and drive it into your heads and into your hearts. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Let it be said of you that you walked humbly before your Lord and God. Now that is a legacy. Not that you built an empire and passed down millions, that you faithfully and humbly served the Lord all the days of your life and you loved your family to the very end. That is the substance of a legacy, and that is being forged with your life right now. So finally, prepare it with prayer. This can't happen without the Lord, and you don't want it to happen without him anyway. So hit your knees each night and pray and ask God for one more day to build your legacy. And if tomorrow comes and your seat goes empty, then have lived a life where your children and your children's children can take up the banner of the legacy of faith. Because remember, the greatest blessing we can give our kids is a legacy of faith. And it's a blessing we prepare with and throughout our lives, all the days of our lives. What I have over here is some of our family Bibles. It's in a cigar box, because in my family, the Bible and cigars apparently go together. But what I have in here is my great-grandma's and her father's Bibles. So my great-great-grandpa's Bible, my children's great-great-great-grandpa's Bible. This thing's 100 years old plus. It's fragile and it's worn. And on the first page, he's got a number of verses written here. On the last page, it says, "I received this Bible from Mr. Winston." Don't know who that man is, but he did a part in my great-great-grandpa's life that I'm thankful for, because one of the verses that my great-great-grandpa wrote down was John chapter 20, verse 31. "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing, and by believing, ye may have life through his name." And so with that guarantee, I may not have met my great-great-grandpa on this side of eternity, but I can't wait to meet him on the next side. So may you see your children's children, and may peace be upon your family. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, as we close up this sermon series, I want to pray for the families represented in this room. No matter what seat they are seated at around the family dinner table, Father, I pray that each person will even now begin crafting a legacy of faith. And Lord, I want to pray for those grandparents, particularly those who feel like they haven't been building one. And Father, I pray that today is the day where they do that. I pray for the kids, Lord, that they would not just see this as something they do one day, but something they do today. I pray, God, that you'd give us all a vision for a generational legacy of faith. And I pray that we'd live into that starting here and now, if we haven't already. Help us, each one of us, to do our part to pass on the faith. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Please rise and receive a blessing before you head on out of here today. A benediction, a blessing coming from Numbers chapter 6. "And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you all the days of your life." Go in his truth, love, and grace this day, and have a great day. Amen.